Hello and welcome to the Heal Your Crohn Summit. I am your host, Mike Lewitz, and I have a very special guest today. His name is Dr. David Jockers, and I want to tell you a little about why I chose Dr. Jockers to be an expert on this summit and why you're really going to enjoy this interview. Now, I'm not an expert and I'm not a trained medical professional in any way, but one of the things that I've noticed over my many years on this planet is that it really seems that in every area of life, Even if we're not consciously aware of it, a lot of people talk about this mind-body connection to literally everything we experience. And to some, this may sound a little woo-woo or hocus-pocus or whatever, and it may very well be in some cases, and I'm certainly not here to judge. But one thing that I do know for sure is that every person, without exception, who has successfully healed themselves and have no sign of Crohn's disease in their bodies, even after having had many surgeries and even those who've had colostomy bags and are now completely Crohn's free, they all talk about their journey of this mind-body connection that they had to make within themselves and how long it took them to figure that part out, because it wasn't something that was really obvious, like diet, for example. And the whole reason why we're doing this summit is to empower you, the listener, to be able to heal yourself, because you can heal yourself from Crohn's. It is possible. Lots and lots of people have done it, and it won't happen overnight, but when you see the common approaches others have taken that have worked, and when you listen to what the wellness experts are saying, hopefully it will help you move along your journey a lot easier. Well, Dr. Jockers is a licensed chiropractor and board-eligible neurologist who really understands the nervous system from a scientific perspective and the research that proves the connection that's between a healthy nervous system and the health of your body. And he's had a lot of success helping many Crohn's patients achieve wellness. And he calls himself a maximized living doctor, and he's also an exercise physiologist, an advanced personal trainer, and lifestyle specialist. And he helps people detoxify and eliminate stress, which are all triggers for Crohn's. And David also has a deeply spiritual core that drives him to do whatever he does from believing in something higher than himself. And we are very lucky to have him here today. So, Dr. Jockers, thank you so much for being here and generously donating your time.
Hey, Mike, so great to be on with you, and really just really excited about what you're doing here, providing hope for people that are dealing with Crohn's disease, which, you know, taking care of a lot of patients with this kind of condition, I know it's just debilitating. Can literally can shut down somebody's ability to function. So it's awesome what you're doing, and just really honored to be a part of it.
Well, thank you. Yeah, we really want to give value. I think there's a big need out there, and people who are really looking for answers that don't have anything tangible. So I want to get into your background a little bit, because you have your own clinic and practice, and so give us some background on you, you know, about your clinic and your practice and your overall philosophy on how you approach treating patients. You know, you're not the typical pill popper and cutter that we see in the conventional medical system here, at least in the Western philosophy in the United States. So tell us about your approach.
Yeah, so I'm a natural health doctor, so I practice structural corrective chiropractic care, functional medicine, functional nutrition, and I have a clinic in Kennesaw, Georgia, right outside Atlanta, and we see people with all kinds of different disorders, and so we have a lot of people coming in with cancer, with autoimmune diseases, with, you know, a tremendous amount of, obviously, with digestive disorders, different things like that. And we really work with them and help customize programs to help them just regain their health and regain their life. And, you know, it's been a great privilege to be a part of that. And, you know, for me, it really started, I was always interested in health. My mom is a naturopath, and so I grew up much healthier, living much healthier than most people. In fact, when I was in my early 20s, I was a personal trainer. I was always an athlete growing up. I was extremely active and fit. But on the inside, my body was struggling. And I would have periods of tremendous intestinal cramping. At times, it would leave me lying on the ground squirming in pain. But, of course, when you're in your early 20s and, you know, the issues aren't so debilitating that you can't function, you just think, well, I must be okay. And I just kind of naively thought, well, these issues will go away. Maybe it was just I overate or something like that. But I would just struggle with constant bouts of diarrhea and constipation, and it was unpredictable. And I thought, again, I thought it was normal, no big deal. And I knew I was living a healthier lifestyle than most people that I knew. At the time, I was a lacto-ovo-vegetarian, so meaning that I didn't eat meat other than dairy and eggs. I never ate junk food. I never ate candy, fast food, pastries, fried foods, things like that. I exercised daily. I looked great. So I just thought I was doing everything right. I thought, well, this just must be what I have to deal with. And by ignoring the problems, which probably a lot of the listeners have done for many years as well, because that's kind of what we never want to, typically we try to just hope these things will go away. But by ignoring the problems, I just allowed them to get worse and worse, and eventually this spiraled out of control. And so by the time I got into graduate school, my system had been so overwhelmed, and I dropped literally 30 pounds in a six-month period of time. So I'm thin as it is. I'm 5'11". 165 pounds is kind of my ideal weight, and I dropped down to 135 pounds, and I looked anorexically thin. My parents and colleagues were concerned. Yeah, it was scary. I mean, I was still able to function, fortunately. My blood pressure was extremely low. I would get dizzy. I had orthostatic hypotension, so I would get dizzy when I would stand up. And, you know, I knew something was wrong, but, you know, I just felt like, hey, I just need to trust. You know, I think this was a big issue for me. This was a huge, huge concept that if we grew up, fortunately, I'm just thankful that my mom kind of taught me to just trust our bodies. Whenever I would get colds and flus growing up, we would mostly just do chicken soup and garlic and different things like that, and just herbs. And so I learned this concept of just trusting my body, allowing it to heal. And, you know, when I realized I had leaky gut, I had irritable bowel syndrome, and went through a process and just started studying and just literally became obsessed with learning everything I possibly could about natural health. And that's what ended up, my master's degree in the beginning and that I was going for was in exercise science, and I ended up changing it to go into chiropractic school, graduate school for chiropractic. And I also did get a master's degree in exercise and sports science, but I just really became passionate about the body healing itself and about natural health and about this incredible ability within us to heal, repair, adapt, to detoxify. And I just still to this day just feel so passionate about helping give people faith in the innate power that God put within us to heal and repair, and to line people up with the right lifestyle principles that are genetically congruent, that allow the body to heal and function at its optimal level. And that's what I applied in my life. I was able to regain my health, and you know, fortunately now at 33, I'm 100 times healthier than I was at 23. And the cool thing about it, Mike, is, you know, no matter where you've been when it comes to your health, you can get better and better every year. The more you learn about your body, the more you line up with natural principles, the more you're able to adapt to stress at a more effective level, the stronger your body becomes and the more resilient, resistant, and healthier you become. And so no matter where you're at, you can become healthier. You can dramatically improve your quality of life. And, you know, that's the awesome thing about it. And so I just love what I do. I'm passionate about it. I love helping people. And I really trying to solve really challenging cases, just become something that's really consumed my life.
Well, that's a fantastic story. Yeah, I didn't know that you struggled with IBS as well. So that's there is a personal connection here for you. It's amazing. And the body is truly an amazing machine. I realize I'm preaching to the choir here on that. But I think if everybody understood what really fascinating machines that we have at these bodies, I think people would maybe look at it from a different perspective, because I think, especially in the typical Western medicine, at least it seems to me, in my opinion, that it's almost like it's approached like it's broken, it needs to be fixed. Whereas when something goes wrong, it's about enabling it with the resources that it can fix itself. Is that probably a better way to put it? Would you agree with that? Or?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think it's one of those things where you know, we're kind of taught in our society that we're innocent victims of disease, and that our body just breaks down and it just happens sporadically, and it's maybe a genetic defect or something that we just don't have a personal responsibility in or any level of control over. and that, you know, our best solution is modern medicine, whether it's cutting out an organ, stitching up an organ, or taking chemicals, right, taking medications. And the reality is that in some cases, those things are awesome, but 95% of the lifestyle, of the symptoms and the lifestyle challenges, the diseases that people are dealing with, they can be healed naturally through a genetically congruent lifestyle. And so I like to look at it like this, like, hey, we don't want to trust the body. The body has this incredible innate ability to heal. It's the power within us took us from 2 cells and formed us into 75 trillion cells in 9 months. This power is the ability to differentiate different cells. It produced our kidney, our heart, our liver. We don't have to think about those things. Let's trust that power. But let's look at our lifestyle and see where we are letting down our body. Are we overstressing it? Are we, like, staying up too late at night? Are we under chronic emotional stress? Are we being exposed to chronic environmental toxins? Are we eating a diet that is just not congruent for good health? So we've got to look at these factors, address what we're doing that's contributing to the problem, take responsibility for it, start changing our lifestyle, changing our ways, have faith and patience, and allow the body to do what it was designed to do, which is heal, repair, adapt, and detoxify.
That's a really good segue for our next section. I want to talk about, for people who are really into the technical and they want to know what's really going on. Let's get into some of the technical stuff. When it comes to Crohn's, what's going on in the body? I mean, what's happening?
Yeah, Crohn's disease is an inflammatory disease of the intestines, but it can actually affect any part of the digestive system, actually. Believe it or not, it can affect anywhere from the mouth to the anus, but it's this chronic inflammatory issue. And inflammation is basically our body's way of reducing microbial species, I guess you could say, in a lot of ways. It's a way of preventing and protecting against infection. And so with Crohn's, a lot of people think it's autoimmune, but there's a lot of debate about that. In fact, you know, most recent reports that I've seen are talking about how it's not really an autoimmune disease. It's actually just a deficiency in innate immunity, which is really we have two parts of our immune system. We have an innate immune system characterized by T cells, and we have an adaptive immune system characterized by antibodies, what we call B cells. And so what typical thinking is that our innate immune system, particularly our macrophages, that there's a deficiency, and the macrophages aren't functioning the way they're supposed to. They're not producing the right amount of cytokines, and they're not getting the desired response. And one of the big aspects of our innate immune system is to keep our microbial load under control. And so for all of our listeners, this is a really huge topic, our microbial load and what we call our microbiome. So we actually have 10 times more microbial species in our body. Most of them are in our digestive system, but really they're also in all the mucous membranes of our body. 10 times more microbes, microbial cells, than we have cells in our body. And so these microbial cells have an enormous influence on our genetic expression, our ability to function, and our quality of life. And so basically one of the things that our body needs to be doing on a regular basis is really because the microbial species, the individual cells, have a short half-life, so they don't live very long. And while they're alive, some of the species produce really harmful toxins, while others produce things that produce byproducts that are extremely helpful for our body. And one of the keys to that is whether they're producing toxins or good stuff, is actually sweeping them out on a regular basis, in a sense, just kind of like turning over our microbiome on a daily basis is a good way to think of it. And so part of turning that over is really our immune system plays a huge role in turning that over in kind of killing, neutralizing certain microbes and helping sweep them out of our system. So with Crohn's, and we could talk more about that later, like ways, Mike, let's go back to that later, just ways to keep our to reduce our microbial load, because that's just a huge topic when it comes to being healthy and strong with this. But to get back to the technical aspect as far as what's going on here, what we found is that with Crohn's disease, because the innate immune system is weakened, we end up with an overabundance of microbial species, and the body, so the Th2 or the adaptive immune system responds and produces antibodies, particularly to yeast cells, and particularly to the outer cell wall of yeast organisms, which is particularly the mannan component, which is one component of the yeast organism's cell wall. So as the yeast organisms build up, because again, our innate immune system is not functioning the way that it's supposed to, then what happens is they build up and it becomes toxic. So our body intelligently creates antibodies to stabilize and keep those things under control. Now, unfortunately, excessive antibody production produces more inflammation, which will scar up parts of our intestinal, really parts of our digestive system, particularly our intestines, and can also stimulate, you know, just constant peristalsis. So I know a lot of people with Crohn's, I mean, they can't stop going to the bathroom. They're going to the bathroom 10, 15, 20 times. That's a common effect, and really it's because our body's trying to sweep out all of these components. It's really an intelligent response from our body due to the environment that it's in. Other things that can be inflamed, one of the common ones is that it'll inflame the bile ducts. And so a lot of times people with Crohn's end up having to get their gallbladder removed because bile ducts are sclerotic, meaning that they've got scar tissue that's formed that's not allowing for good bile release from the gallbladder, and it creates the formation of gallstones and all different types of symptoms that are related with gallbladder disease. So that's a really common one as well. So basically with Crohn's, it's not necessarily autoimmune, it's just a weakening of one portion of our immune system and an overreaction of the other part of antibody production to the outer cell wall of yeast organisms. And so that seems to be the consensus from what everything I've read at this point, although scientists are continuing to study this to really isolate more of, hey, what are actually the pathogenesis and the components that are going on in somebody that's dealing with Crohn's.
Now, you talk about the neurological system and how it's connected to things. How is our neurological system connected to the immune system? And in this case, especially with Crohn's, what's going on? How is the nervous system? Because this is an area even I'm not familiar with at all.
Yeah. Well, you know what? The nervous system is our major. So we have really three major systems that run our body. The nervous system is what we consider the major system. Our brain-body connection, so the brain's ability to communicate electrochemical signals to every single organ system in the body, is absolutely critical. I mean, that's what controls everything. That's our life expression right there. It's all through the brain-body connection. And so the brain is hardwired into the lymphoid tissue, or into the immune system, as well as into the endocrine system, or the hormonal system. So these are hardwired connections, and so the nervous system is sending signals out to control immune response and at the same time to control hormonal response and vice versa. The hormones are helping to coordinate the nervous system, and the immune system is helping to give feedback and coordinate the nervous system. So there's kind of this whole triad subsystem that's helping run our body. And so basically the nervous system, one of the keys there is it really, there's two dominant systems with our nervous system. There's our sympathetic or fight or flight system, and our parasympathetic or rest and digest system. And so basically, when we are under a threat, okay, so think about it like what's a real life threat. Like, for example, let's say somebody's chasing us with a gun, right? It's a real life threat. Or let's think about our ancestors. Maybe they were in battle, or maybe they were trying to hunt something and they were on the chase. These are all
maybe being chased by a saber-toothed tiger.
Yeah, the old classic one, saber-toothed tiger. Exactly. So you're running for your life, right? It's fight or flight, and so that's how our body is wired to respond under stress: is fight or flight. And stress, to some degree, is extremely healthy because it creates adaptation. That's why exercise is so good. Exercise, and especially when we do like burst training and things like that, helps our body adapt and become stronger as long as we're able to recover and respond to it effectively. However, when we're under chronic stress, this fight or flight system, it just becomes hardwired. And the fight or flight system creates changes in our immune system and ends up becoming pro-inflammatory, meaning that when we are under chronic stress, our body responds by assuming that we're at a greater threat for infection. So it produces more inflammation to protect us from infection. Because you see, systemic infections have killed more people in the history of the world than anything else, right? More people have died over the history of mankind from infections that have kind of raged through the body and destroyed the body than really any other form of death. And so our body is hardwired to protect against that. So when we're under chronic stress, this high-level stress, and then we're in this sympathetic mode, our body is always going to produce more inflammation to protect us from an infection spreading throughout our body. Now, we talk about the other part of our nervous system, the parasympathetic nervous system. That's really the part of the nervous system that helps us digest food effectively. It helps our body to heal, to repair. It stimulates the desire to reproduce, right? So these are all key to quality of life, of course, your key components. Now, the parasympathetic nervous system doesn't necessarily keep us alive during a stressful circumstance. So that's why the sympathetic nervous system, or the fight-or-flight system, is the number one triage system. It keeps us alive in a life-or-death situation. The parasympathetic nervous system is how we recover and heal. So, again, when we have a lot of stress in our life, or we've created an environment that is full of stress, because it could be physical stress, like really bad posture, maybe traumas, different things like that, injuries, that all causes stress in our body. It could be chemical stress. That's going to be bad food. That's going to be environmental toxins, bad air, bad water. Or it could be, of course, mental, emotional stress, which most of us are familiar with. You know, just negative thinking patterns, lots of fear, being rushed and stressed, and this whole kind of mindset of fear-based thinking. Then that really just sets our body into this sympathetic fight or flight mode. And again, the more time we're spending in that fight or flight mode, the more inflammation our body is going to produce. And so we are training our immune system to become to basically produce massive amounts of inflammation. And again, we talked about this Th2 reaction that takes place with Crohn's, and so it's heightened. And most people with Crohn's will tell you, yeah, it's like when I'm under stress, when I'm not sleeping good, when I've got a lot of things going on in my life, when I feel rushed or pushed, when I'm having problems with my spouse, that's when my symptoms flare up. And that's absolutely the truth, because, again, we're training our immune system to pump out lots of inflammation. And so we've got to really control our nervous system and really help fine-tune it, so that way our body is in a state of peace, of rest, of healing as much as possible. Nothing wrong with getting stressed a little bit. Again, it helps our body. It actually is a good stress, right? Stress promotes creativity. It promotes innovation. It promotes healing and strengthening. But it's this chronic hardwired stress when we just never leave this fight-or-flight mode, when our thoughts are just always fearful and low-level energy thoughts, thoughts of anger, sadness, depression, unforgiveness, where we're harboring these kind of thoughts, when we've got bad posture, slumped over a chair at a computer, that's putting in that physical stress, and we're eating poorly, when we're breathing bad air, drinking bad water. These things just, again, hardwire this fight-or-flight response and promote chronic inflammation that's going to lead to all sorts of health problems. And people that are susceptible to Crohn's, that's when you're going to have the flare-ups.
You know, you said something that's really fascinating, the connection that I'm going through in my own head, that it's obvious to me that this goes to everybody in life, but I just want to clarify this, that so when we're under stress, you know, maybe it's a toxic relationship or a job that you hate, or you're driving in traffic, and, you know, whenever you're in a space of that you're really stressed out in your life, you're in a space, you're activating the part of your body that's in a system of fight or flight. And when you're in a space of fight or flight, it's almost like, I don't know if scarcity is the right word, but it is some kind of fear, and so you're under stress. And when you're under stress, you're experiencing this inflammation. And here in the United States especially, when we're with our lifestyles, we're very much under stress. And our general culture is under this space of fight or flight. And even I don't think most people would associate it with the, well, I'm in a space of fight or flight right now, but people are constantly in that space. And so, like as I talked about in the beginning, is the whole idea of getting in touch with your body and being in touch with that mind-body connection. In my mind, I'm drawing the picture here that when we're more in touch with ourselves, we feel more in control, and now we're not in this space of lack or scarcity or fight or flight because we're in touch with our bodies, and that allows us to reduce the level of stress because we have that confidence and comfort in that, you know, kind of I'm okay, so to speak, and that just in and of itself helps reduce stress significantly. But the problem is that we've been going so long for so many decades in our lives, living this way and stuck in our head and just dealing with the day-to-day minutiae of trying to get ahead and get the job done and getting to work on time and dealing with siblings and parents and significant others and strangers and all these things, that it puts us in this constant space of I'm not in control, and so there's this fear, and so we're in this fight or flight. Is that, I really just throw a whole bunch of stuff out there, but is that kind of, am I on the right track here?
Oh, you're absolutely right. I mean, you look at our modern day society and, you know, it's right from the get-go. Most people have trouble waking up in the morning, so oftentimes they hit the snooze and they wake up and they're stressed. They're like, oh, or the alarm clock just shouts out real loud and immediately starts their, you know, that loud noise immediately gets their stress hormones up. They wake up, right? They're stimulating their body with stimulants like coffee and different things like that to get more stress hormone up because they want to have mental clarity. And that's the effect of caffeine, will help with mental clarity. But again, stress hormone goes up, stimulating our fight or flight sympathetic system. And then they're oftentimes traveling through traffic, and the traffic creates stress. And then they get to work, and they've got deadlines, and they've got meetings, and they've got all kinds of different things that they've got to be ready for. Or, you know, if they're taking care of kids, they've got, you know, this child and that child to take care of. And we're eating meals, and, you know, this is a big aspect, too, is, you know, we're eating meals, and then we're running around. Like, one of the big things that I teach people to do is, I like, personally, I do most of my more stressful work during the day, so I try to eat liquid and raw food nutrition. I try to eat a lot of things that are easy on my body, very easy for my digestive system during the daytime hours. So I'll have, like, smoothies and green juices and different things like that. I make, like, a chocolate mousse, for example, with avocado and coconut oil and stuff like that. Different recipes that I have on my website for anybody that wants to check them out. But I try to do liquid and raw food nutrition during the day because I'm working hard. I'm moving. I'm doing a lot of things that demand a lot of more physical energy. And I don't want anything to interfere. I don't want to overstress my digestive system. I mean, we talk about leaky gut. And basically, when we're eating a lot of solid food or we're eating a lot of cooked food, those foods depend on a lot of enzymes and hydrochloric acid in order to be able to be broken down and metabolized well. When we eat those foods and then we're out running around and dealing with stress, again, we're stimulating the sympathetic nervous system, not the parasympathetic nervous system. Parasympathetic nervous system is what we need stimulated in order to digest those meals effectively. So if you're somebody that has a busy day, it's going to be a lot better for you to eat light. Eat light foods, because then your sympathetic nervous system will, your body won't have extra stress on your digestive system. You'll be able to utilize your sympathetic nervous system effectively and do what it's designed to do, which is help you perform well, which is help you to, you know, get things done and succeed without overstressing your digestive system. Because when you overstress the digestive system, you're unable to digest food effectively, which then creates more inflammation in your gut. That inflammation in the gut can wear holes in your intestinal lining and create issues with leaky gut syndrome. And, you know, as a clinician, most of the people that come in and see me, particularly autoimmune cases, individuals with things like Crohn's disease and cancer and different things like that, they have leaky gut. Their gut has been so damaged, and it's not an easy thing to fix. It takes time. So I tell people all the time, do whatever it takes to protect your digestive lining. Do whatever it takes. If you've got a busy, stressful day, if you're not able to just kind of relax and digest your meal, then eat light. And so for most people, they're doing more of their busier work during the daytime hours. If that's you, then eat light. Eat liquid, raw foods during the day, whether it's soups and stews, shakes, smoothies, green juices, different things like that. Eat light during the day and eat your larger meal for recovery in the evening when you're able to relax. You might be relaxing with your spouse and watching a movie or, you know, just hanging out with some friends or maybe going to a small group Bible study or whatever it is. That's more of a relaxing situation. That's more where your parasympathetic nervous system comes on. You're able to really rest, relax, repair, digest. And so then that's when you do it. Now, if you have a schedule where you're working more afternoon, evening hours, eat your larger meal in the morning and relax afterwards. Relax for 2 or 3 hours. Don't do anything that demands too much stress from you, and then eat lighter in the afternoon and evening. So really consuming, trying to build your meals around your stress patterns is a really key component to living a healthy lifestyle, working with your body to minimize stress and inflammation in your system.
This is really good information. I hope everybody listening will listen to this a couple times to really get this stuff down, because this is really important stuff, in my opinion. And this is, you know, you're throwing a lot of technical stuff out there, but I think it's really good and really important. And while it may be difficult for some people to really wrap their brains around this whole sympathetic versus the parasympathetic systems of our bodies, even just going on the internet and maybe doing more research and studying and really understand this, because again, it's about taking control of your body and really being in touch with what's going on. And I think in our lifestyle, our cultures, I think we've very much disconnected from what's going on. And so we need to make that internal connection. And so I hope people will listen to this over multiple times to really get this stuff, because in my opinion, what I'm saying is very profound and very, very important. And it's a very complex issue, and it's not a simple one quick fix, like, oh, I'm just going to go take a nap later and everything will be okay.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And one big thing I wanted to add was really kind of changing our concept when it comes to food and nutrition, right? Most people are trained to believe that food, that eating gives us energy. But really, it's not eating that gives us energy. Actually, what you'll notice is that when you stay hydrated, you can go a long time without food. If you stay hydrated, you can have a lot of energy. In fact, most people that are listening to this can actually start fasting one meal a day. If they start doing this on a regular basis, most of them, unless they have extreme adrenal fatigue, will actually start feeling amazing. They can literally eat one meal a day and drink a ton of water during the day. Just stay super hydrated. Maybe even use like greens powders and different things like that, or juice green vegetables. It's really antioxidants, electrolytes, and water that provide energy. Food is there for recovery. So eating protein, eating fats, things like that, is we got to think of food as more of recovery. It helps us recover from daily stresses. Doesn't give us energy. So when we talked about that, things that you need a lot of energy for, you actually want to eat less. You do want to provide lots of hydration. You want to provide trace minerals, antioxidants, but you don't want heavy food. Heavy food is for recovery. And so when you start getting that concept into your head, it will really help you shape how you set up your meal plans. You'll notice you digest your food better. You'll notice your energy goes through the roof. Your digestive system is going to be able to heal much more effectively. And, you know, it's going to make a world of difference in your life.
This is such great information. I think this is good for anybody, regardless of whether a person has a disease or they're considered quote-unquote healthy. I think this is some really good information. So thanks for really getting into this. This is a good segue into leading into your approach. When someone comes to see you and they've got Crohn's, what is your plan of attack? I mean, you kind of talked about the eagle's eye vision on what's going on and what needs to be done. What are some of the first several steps that really need to be taken to attack this? Is it a one size fits all general approach, or does it depend on each person, or what is your approach?
Well, that's a great question, Mike. It definitely is not a one-size-fits-all approach. However, it's a great place to start, okay? And so it really depends on where the patient's coming in. So a lot of times I'll have Crohn's patients that are coming in and they've been eating the standard American diet, okay? So those patients that are coming in that have just been living a standard American lifestyle, I begin my approach with, in a sense, a one-size-fits-all approach. I want them to go grain-free, so taking out all the grains. We take out dairy, so these just common inflammatory foods, these foods that are going to create more inflammation in their body. So we go on basically a low-carb, high-good-fat, and moderate-protein diet that's very rich in antioxidants and very rich in fiber. And so oftentimes with Crohn's, what I found is a lot of times they have trouble digesting just a lot of vegetables, unfortunately, unless they're deeply cooked or like in a soup or stew. So oftentimes I'll go with that approach. But typically somebody that's coming on a standard American diet, I start getting them doing simple steps, right? Just changing their meals, trying to do more liquid nutrition like we talked about, taking grains out, taking dairy out, and trying to stick with really good nutrient-dense foods. Reducing stress, I look at their spine and nerve system to see if there's any structural issues, what we call subluxation patterns in their spine and nerve system that are affecting their body's ability to heal and repair. So that's the case, and we start correcting those issues with chiropractic adjustments and specific corrective exercises. On top of that, really working on their sleeping habits too, trying to really help them sleep effectively. Oftentimes, because of the chronic stress, they're magnesium deficient, so helping them out with some issues like that. Some different supplements like probiotics and things like L-glutamine, I use a product called Repairvite that really helps with gut repair. So get them on a couple specific supplements as well as just general nutrition plans. Now, we'll sometimes have patients that have come in that are Crohn's patients and they've been doing a paleo diet. They've been doing probiotics. They've been doing all these different things and, you know, they've kind of plateaued from where they're at. So some of the same things apply. I always address making sure that, you know, they're dealing with all the lifestyle factors. And from there, we'll fine tune different things. So, you know, for example, they may be taking a probiotic that has yeast in it, which there are healthy yeasts. And so they may be taking like a brewer's yeast or something like that. And so I want to get them on more of like a human soil organism type probiotic, a probiotic that's more hypoallergenic, I should say, where it's something that people with more sensitive guts, like people with Crohn's, that they can tolerate more effectively. So like one that I use is called Prescriptisys, really good. It's soil-based organisms, and people tolerate it really well, and they help recolonize, and they help dramatically favor the formation of good, healthy microflora. Also getting them doing like lots of phytonutrients, so like green juices and green tea and ginger tea, and oftentimes they can handle like some dark chocolate and berries and different things like that, that again help preferentially favor microbiota changes in their gut to enhance good microbes and to reduce things like yeast in their system. And so that's a big factor.
I think you just got a big win with all the chocolate. Your phone's going to start ringing off the hook now.
Oh yeah, love chocolate, exactly. So that's the cool thing is there's lots of great foods. And if somebody goes on my website, you'll see so many recipes that are just awesome, that are extremely health benefiting. And so a couple of other things we talked about, I wanted to go back to this concept of reducing microbial load, because this is something in my head that I'm thinking all the time, especially with my Crohn's patients. I'm like, okay, I got to get them on like a lifestyle that helps reduce microbial load. So I want to make sure, you know, number one, they're obviously that they're moving their bowels frequently. Like I always, to me, it's easier to help somebody with Crohn's that's going to bathroom excessively, moving their bowels excessively, than somebody that's constipated. Constipation creates this massive fermentation process, and it creates this ridiculous overload of microbial species. and will cause excessive inflammation and damage to the gut lining. So got to make sure they're moving their bowels well. Also, we want to reduce microbial load through several other things. One of them is oil pulling. So I have them do something like a half a teaspoon of coconut oil. Sometimes we'll put like a drop of oregano oil or clove oil in there and put it in their mouth, and they swish it around for about 15 minutes, 2 to 3 times a day. So I try to get them started by just doing it in the morning and in the evening before they go to bed. You know, getting people doing rituals, is having daily rituals is really the best way for compliancy. So morning and evening. Now, if they're really the kind of individual that's super committed and they're like, hey, I'll do whatever, you know, just tell me what to do, I can tell that their commitment is extremely high, I'll tell them to do it 3 or 4 times a day. And so that just reduces microbial load in their oral cavity, which, again, reduces stress on their immune system. Because the more microbes that we have, more microbial species, whether they're good or bad, that we have in our body, the more stress load that is on our immune system. The more we can reduce the stress, the way I look at somebody with Crohn's is they just have a weak system. Their immune system is weak, and it's not able to adapt effectively. So the more I can reduce stress on it, the more that it can heal and repair and therefore regain a level of strength and ability to adapt. So I want to do that to help reduce stress. So it's simple and easy, oil pulling. Okay, so that's one thing. Sleeping well. Sleeping is huge. Melatonin, which is the major hormone that our body produces that induces sleep, also helps regulate our gut microbiota. It's a huge player in the immune system. So good, high-quality sleep actually helps lower our microbial load. And so getting good sleep. So somebody with Crohn's, I'm recommending them get 9 hours of sleep a night, being in bed by 10 p.m. at the latest. If they want to go to bed at 9, even better. 10 p.m. at the latest, getting 9 hours. 9 hours of sleep is what I recommend. If they're feeling fatigued at all during the day, which is common with Crohn's, of course, taking a nap as well, maybe a 15-minute power nap or something like that. But I highly, highly recommend good sleep, really, really prioritizing sleep in order to heal in this way. And, of course, like we talked about, good bowel movements, really key. Dry brushing is another great thing. So just taking a soft bristle brush and doing dry brushing on the skin helps reduce the microbial load, helps stimulate lymphatics. And stimulating your lymphatic system helps with reducing stress on the immune system. Stagnicity in your lymphatics is going to cause more stress and more buildup and overload of microbial species. So that's an important component. So doing that, oftentimes have them take baths sometimes, like Epsom salt baths or clay baths or something like that can be very helpful. I also like to use, we talked about some different supplements. So like I use a supplement called RepairVite that has things like slippery elm and aloe vera that are good for the gut-based immune system. So secretory IgA, our gut immune system. So those things help. They also help soothe the gut membrane, strengthen the immune system there. I'll also like to use, we talked about the probiotics. Let's see, sometimes supplementing with things like hydrochloric acid. Oftentimes they're not producing enough HCl in their stomach, which if they're not, because the HCl helps reduce microbial load as well. So if the person's not producing enough hydrochloric acid in their stomach, then they can get a overabundance of things like H. pylori in their stomach. And in fact, that's oftentimes the cause of low HCl. And so, but even if not, if their body's just drained and they're not able to produce the HCl, then what happens is they're not going to be able to reduce their microbial load. So supplementing with HCl, using things like juicing, making green juices with things like dandelion, ginger, parsley, dill, cilantro, things like that. That's all really, really good for the liver, the stomach, for producing gastric juices, pancreatic enzymes. So those kind of green juices are really, really effective for that. So these are all, just some of the different strategies that I'm using on a regular basis to help reduce microbial load. And there's a lot of other things we could talk about. That's just gives you a good start. So I'm constantly thinking about that. And then I also always want to get feedback because every Crohn's patient is different. So some of them, for example, what I've noticed is some of them can't tolerate fermented foods at all. Fermented foods start flaring them up right away. For others, fermented foods are like the best things they've ever had. It's like their life is transformed. They start consuming sauerkraut. Some of them I've noticed do really well on fermented grass-fed dairy, clean dairy. Others can't tolerate it at all. So everybody's a little bit different. So trying to find out the subtleties as well is a part of just learning, and it's really just a part of mastering our own body. And I think, you know, I think really that is one of the pearls of having a chronic illness, okay, or some sort of a major health problem, is it's really an opportunity. It's really a great blessing for us, and that's the way we have to look at it. So whether you're dealing with Crohn's or any other sort of major issue, health issue, it is actually a blessing because it actually gives you an opportunity to learn a lot about your body. You're getting immediate feedback, right? And so, like, I know for myself, when I was really dealing with major digestive issues, it was like certain things I would eat, or if I was really stressed, all of a sudden I'd have constipation and my bowels would hurt and I'd have, you know, just cramping and different things like that. And I realized, gosh, these things I can't tolerate. So it was immediate feedback, and pain is our greatest teacher. And so pain can really teach us if we link cause and effect. So if we can really link the cause of what's actually causing those symptoms, then that teaches us what behaviors are going to be beneficial, what behaviors are going to be problematic. And then that really gives us great insight on our body. And so the more that we're able to master our body, I think that's part of really why I think that's just a great skill that all of us need to develop, is kind of a level of mastery. We don't have to know all the science, but we just need to have a level of mastery of how our body reacts to lifestyle issues, stress, sleep, food, exercise, right? These kind of health components. If we can understand how our body reacts to these things, then we can kind of design our own health program that's going to allow us to really perform at our peak level.
In doing this, how do I want to ask this? What is something you would recommend in trying to figure out what works and what doesn't? I mean, I think because we're all so stuck in our heads, and I think most people have no idea what they mean, what that means when they say you're stuck in your head. I've been told for years that I'm stuck in my head, and I've been going through a process for the last few years of getting out of my head. It's quite a journey. It's not something that happens overnight. And until you really understand moments when you're out of your head, you don't even aware. At least that's my personal experience. And so that's part of my journey. But getting in touch with our body and understanding, are there some things that you would recommend that people could do or to try what's right for them?
Well, sure. So big thing is, you know, just start.
It's hard. It's hard to say, well, this is okay for me and that's not. So.
Yep. I would just start on an anti-inflammatory diet, which, you know, you can find a lot of blogs will talk about it. But basically, anti-inflammatory diet is taking out all GMOs, eating as organic as possible, and really sticking with clean meat, sustainably raised, grass-fed, pasture-raised animal products, lots of vegetables, low-glycemic vegetables, and good fats, things like coconut oil, avocados, extra virgin olive oil, different things like that. So you start out with a nutrition plan like that. You start really focusing on good sleep. You start focusing on getting regular movement, okay? And if you feel really tired during the day, don't try any high-intensity movement. Just start getting regular movement, going out walking, lots of deep breathing to help stimulate the parasympathetic nervous system, which helps your body rest, relax, and heal. So I tell people to go out into a nature park every day, do lots of long, deep breathing out in nature as you take a light, gentle walk. Okay, and to stimulate that parasympathetic nervous system. So you just start doing some different things like this, and that's really the best place to start. And then from there, you start journaling on what you're noticing, how your body's changing, how it's adapting. When you have a flare-up, what do you think was happening a couple of days before, right? What do you think was contributing to it? So every time you have a flare-up, it's time to just see, hey, what was going on in my life? What did I notice? What was happening there? What was I eating? So you're taking notice of this, and sometimes you can get it right away. Sometimes you're like, oh, yep, it was definitely, you know, this. Definitely eating the sugar or whatever it is. And then the next And then if you can't, you'll figure it out over time. If you just keep if you keep a journal, if you stay just hyper-analytical, oh, I shouldn't say hyper-analytical, but if you stay analytical about your stress load, about the different issues that are going on in your life and how that's contributing to your health, then you'll start to figure out. There's an innate wisdom within you. I think, you know, the innate intelligence within your body, it wants to speak into you. It wants to teach you these things. We just got to be open to it. And so as you start to ask the right questions, I believe your body is going to give you the feedback that you're looking for. And it may take a year, 2 years, 3 years to really get things under control. You just have to have patience and really trust the body. But, you know, every single person can just start on an anti-inflammatory nutrition plan, start moving their body regularly, prioritizing sleep, keeping stress under control. This is a big thing, too. Get your spine and nervous system checked by a high-qualified chiropractor. I find that to be a huge issue. And a lot of times I have clients that have come to me that they feel like they've tried everything. They've been to functional medicine doctors. They've done this. They've done that. And they've got ligament damage in their upper cervical spine that was never addressed. So they've got a bone that's putting pressure on bottom of their brainstem, top of their spinal cord, and it's causing massive release of stress hormones in their body every moment of every day. And, of course, they're not getting better. So getting those kind of structural issues corrected is very critical, too. All those things just help your body to heal, okay? And then the small subtleties that are unique to you, you'll figure out over time with the right just analysis of your own body. And, of course, it's always good to work with a health coach that you can kind of relay this information off of. Oftentimes, like somebody like myself who's worked with a lot of people, we've seen a lot of different patterns. So, you know, when clients tell me certain things, I'm like, I would say 90% of the time, I'm like, oh, yep, I've seen this before. You want to do this, this, and this. And then, you know what, I'm always learning, too. There's probably 10% of the time where I'm like, wow, that's interesting. I've never heard of that. I've never seen that before, right? And so it helps me, too, working with clients. I learn, I get better as well. So working with a good, high-qualified health coach, definitely advisable.
It seems so counterintuitive to say, oh, you've got Crohn's? Oh, you should probably go take a peaceful walk in the park. It doesn't seem like that's the way to approach, but it's anything that you can do to reduce stress has a more than just a mental, but it has a physical manifestation within the body. And I think that's really important. The other thing I just wanted to say too is that just for anybody, that it's because of the things you really pointed out here, I think I've heard this somewhere before, but you really, really hit it home that the health of our digestive system is really the thing that determines how healthy our whole body is. And keeping that in check is really the huge factor. So, well, this has been just a wealth of good knowledge. I'm just reeling myself. I mean, this has been good stuff. I'm taking notes myself because I'm learning some good stuff here. Dr. Jockers, is there anything else you feel you want to add to this conversation that we may not have addressed?
You know, I just want to give all of our listeners just some hope that your body, you know, that again, that whatever you're dealing with is really, I always tell people your tragedy is your testimony, right? So there's two ways of dealing with a health crisis or really any sort of crisis in our life is we can become a victim or we can become a champion. And so the victim mindset is the woe is me, that, oh, I can't get well, I'm dealing with all these issues. You know, the victim mindset blames doctors, it blames, you know, the people in their life for the challenges they're dealing with, and it's disempowering, and it steals that individual's energy, and it literally robs them of life. And those are people that really never get well. And so a champion mentality says, here's the situation I'm dealing with. I'll take responsibility for perhaps, you know, bad lifestyle issues that led up to this. I'll learn from that and I'll grow. And every time I have a relapse or I have a flare up, I'm going to learn. I'm going to get better. So champions constantly remind themselves that they are great learners, that they can learn from life experiences, that they can get better in life, that they can get better at understanding and mastering what's going on in their body, that they can seek out wise counsel, that they can learn from the challenges and setbacks, and because of that positive self-talk, they are constantly getting better and stronger and healthier. And you look around, if you start just, you know, Googling digestive health blogs, I mean, there's hundreds of them up, And these are all individuals who've dealt and struggled with digestive issues. These are people that, you know, were in the valley. They had major health setbacks that were debilitating, and now they've turned their life around. They've learned, they've figured out enough about their own body and about the different issues, health issues that they've had, to where they felt like they were confident enough to start a blog, to start coaching people and educating people and providing recipes and resources for other people to get well. And these are champions. And so you have a choice. You can dwell in victimhood, or you can rise up and live your life as a champion. And, you know, I want to encourage you guys that to live life as a champion. I think that's what God put us on the planet to do. We weren't meant to have an easy, comfortable life. We were meant to rise above adversity, to get stronger, healthier, more vibrant, and to grow and adapt from our setbacks.
Powerful stuff. Thank you so much, Dr. Jockers. I understand that you have a free gift for everybody here.
I do. And so what I'm actually going to give you guys is a new ebook that I just sent. It's called Supercharged Immunity, Your Complete Guide to Never Get Sick Again. And it's really, you know, there's this whole Ebola crisis going on, and right now, as we're doing this interview, it's winter time, and so we've got the whole flu epidemic and different issues like that. This is an ebook that I wrote to really help empower my followers with confidence in the body's ability to heal, how to handle immune challenges, and how to really create a lifestyle that allows you the greatest opportunity to never get sick again. So hope you guys enjoy that simple, easy ebook to read, but you get powerful information inside of it.
And how can they get this ebook?
They can get this ebook by just going to my website, drjockers.com, drjockers.com.
Very nice. Well, I would encourage everybody to go to drjockers.com, check out his website, get the ebook, look over some of the stuff. He has a ton of good information on his site with just recipes and just overall health and a whole myriad of different things. I think it's a wonderful resource. I've looked over it myself. There's a lot of good information there. Even if you're somebody who you don't have Crohn's and you're maybe somebody you love has Crohn's, you're looking for some information or some research to try to help them, how you can become more of an asset into their life, just becoming more open to looking at different ways and looking at different approaches, because there is no one fix for one person, no matter what it is, and especially with Crohn's. And there's a lot of information out there that is not good information or not really helpful or maybe conflicting. So drjockers.com is a wonderful resource, wonderful website. And even if you want to get in touch with Dr. Jockers yourself, I would encourage you to do that too if you think that's the right thing for you. So anyway, again, Dr. Jockers, thank you so much. This information has been just absolutely priceless. I think it's information that every single human being should know, regardless of their health condition. So I want to thank you for your time and your expertise and your wisdom and your knowledge and for being here and for everything that you've done.
Well, thank you so much, Mike. It's an honor to be on this program. And, you know, I just really appreciate you putting something like this on and really giving people hope, knowledge, resources, and wisdom on how to handle these kind of health conditions, whether it's Crohn's or anything else that they're dealing with. So bravo to you on a great program.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. And I want to thank you, the listener, for being here and taking this knowledge. I hope you took some good notes, and I hope you absorbed this information and put it in. You can heal yourself from Crohn's, and you can live a life that is healthy. This isn't a prison sentence. You can do it. A lot of people are doing it, and a lot of experts are here to help, and there's a lot of resources, a lot of good information out there. So, again, I want to thank everybody here, and, again, my name is Mike Lewis, and I'm your host. Thank you. Good night.